Chapter 2, we're going to read verses 6 and 7. That's page 954 in your pew Bible. So when you find that, stand with me this morning as we read God's Word. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 6, page 954. Let's read God's Word together. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. Thank you so much. I want to read this passage share with you from a few other passages, because I want us to grasp what Paul is writing here in Philippians chapter 2. And what he is saying about Christ, a lot of commentators tell us that this actually became, this verses 6 through 11, became one of the songs of the early church, because it uniquely and so beautifully described what Jesus did. So I want us to grasp that this morning as we prepare our hearts to come to the table of the Lord. So I'm going to read it to you from about five different versions, five or six, just those two verses. The New International Version puts it this way: who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. The New Living Translation says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Eugene Peterson's The Message says, he had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. He became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. The Jewish Study Bible says, though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be possessed by force. On the contrary, he emptied himself in that he took the form of a slave by becoming like human beings are. And finally, I think this one is my favorite, is from a version called the International Study Version. It says, instead, poured out in emptiness, a servant's form did he possess, a mortal man becoming, in human form he chose to be. I want us to make sure we understand what Paul was saying, because we read it today in our pew Bible, where it said those three words that have just really captured my heart and my imagination over the last few weeks. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. You know, all of us have items that we just feel like I could never part with that. Maybe it's a 1967 Pontiac GTO, red convertible with red vinyl interior. And maybe it even has a 8-track tape player built into the radio. And it's in your garage and it's covered with a cloth because that's your baby. Now, you don't tell your wife that, but that's your baby. Or maybe it's a collection of valuable coins that you keep in your safe or you keep in a safe deposit box. Maybe it's an item that belonged to someone that you love. I don't know if you notice it, but I've begun wearing my dad's wedding band because it reminds me of my dad. And I have my mom's Bible in my office, And because I can look through it sometimes and read all the various prayers that she wrote in that Bible, is something that I would not part with. Or maybe what I want you to think about is that one item that you would make sure you had with you in the event of a fire. That thing, that item, that something that you identify with, that you feel like, I'll carry this with me to my grave. I'll never let go of this. And yet Jesus, Paul wrote, refused to hold on to equality with God. Paul said, and I read it to you various ways this morning, that even though he was equal with God, even though he had divine privileges, he refused to hold on to it. He let it go, and he emptied himself. He poured himself out. He came down in the form of a human, but not just in the form of a human. But he became a servant. He became a slave. One of my commentaries, William Barclay, says this about the passage we read, about that word emptied. He says, the Greek is the verb kanaon, which means literally to empty. It can be used of removing things from a container until the container is empty, of pouring something out until there is nothing left. Here Paul uses the most vivid possible word to make clear the sacrifice of the incarnation, the glory of divinity that Jesus gave up willingly in order to become a man. He emptied himself of his deity to take upon himself his humanity. It is useless to ask how. We can only stand in awe at the sight of Him who is Almighty God, hungry and weary and in tears. Here, in the last reach of human language, is the great saving truth that He was rich, but for our sakes He became poor. He remained God, only he chose to take that form for a limited time, or take that power, that divinity, and for a limited time pour it into the form of a human body. He became Emmanuel, God with us. John put it this way in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus did not change who He was. He did not give up His power. We see that being manifested throughout the Gospels, where Jesus healed bodies, raised the dead, opened blinded eyes, opened deaf ears, called dumb tongues to speak, raised the dead back to life again. He didn't become human in the fact that He was now powerless. He just changed how He was seen, not who He was. In fact, Jesus, to reiterate that, said this in John chapter 10, verse 30, I and the Father are one. In chapter 14, verses 9 and 10, Jesus said this about Himself to Thomas, anyone who has seen Me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in Me? Philip Yancey, in one of his books, said this, Jesus corrects my foggy conceptions of God. Jesus reveals a God who came in search of us. A God who makes room for our freedom even when it cost His Son's life. A God who is vulnerable. Above all, Jesus reveals a God who is love. Jesus, who was in the form of God, poured himself into a human body. Still God. Still God. But now a God that we could see in a different way. Now, this is a very poor illustration of what Jesus did. If I were to take that glass and go somewhere in a swampy area and bury that glass and allow it to lie in that ground for a year or 2 years, and then go pull that glass out of that mire and muck in that swampy area, it would probably be filled with dirt and maybe mold or mildew growing inside of it, maybe a few worms or grubs crawling around inside that glass. That really is a truer, clearer, better picture of what Jesus poured himself into. Sherry and I, we like to watch HGTV. And one of the things we like to watch is these home remodeling shows. You know, where they go in and they have demo day. And they go in and start tearing things out. And there's some that they show where they're buying a house that somebody's lived in recently. But sometimes they pick a house that nobody has lived in for maybe 10 years. Maybe it was a foreclosure. And they go through the house and they go in the kitchen and there's, you know, dishes and dirty pots and pans laying there. And then they go in the living room and the blinds are falling in the floor and there's mildew growing or mold up on the ceiling. And you know the room they're taking you to. And you know the room I'm already talking about, don't you? They're getting you ready to take you into that room that's going to be the dirtiest, filthiest, stinkingest, most gagging room in the house. The cameraman will not even go in that room. He stands back and kind of zooms in. And when he starts zooming in on the toilet, we all go, "I don't want to look." That is a better picture of what Jesus poured himself into. He poured himself into a world that was filled with rebellion and murder and anger and sexual immorality. He poured himself into a world of a perverse nature. He poured himself in a world where people thought, "Hey, I don't care what I have to do to get to the top. If I have to step on you, I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do and nobody's going to stop me." He poured himself into a world that was, for thousands of years, had been left, in which the way the book of Judges summarizes that world is this: every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That's the world Jesus poured himself into. Not this beautiful crystal clear world. He poured himself into the most horrible, the most filthy. He poured himself into a world, our world, my world, your world, that was filled with sin. This table behind me, these elements that sit on that table, they remind us, this cross that is behind me, remind us that Jesus gave all. That Jesus poured himself out. He emptied himself so that you and I could be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High God. I'm reminded of the story, the teacher who was teaching a class on creative writing gave her students an assignment, an in-class assignment. She began to tell them a story. And she told them the story about an ant that lived near a family of grasshoppers. And during the springtime, the ant was busily gathering up food and gathering up grain and gathering up materials and taking it into its nest. And the family of grasshoppers, they were just hopping around and chirping and enjoying the sunshine and laying out and just having a great time. And summer came, and the ant just kept right on working, filling its nest with nourishment and filling its nest with food. And all the while, the grasshoppers are playing and having a good time and enjoying themselves, and they're just enjoying every day. Fall came, and the ant is busy gathering food and gathering nourishment and gathering materials and taking it down and burrowing it down into its nest. And all the while, even though the temperature is starting to drop and is giving indicators that winter is on the way, the grasshoppers are still hopping around and enjoying themselves and just having fun. And the teacher went on and told the story. She said, "But one cold, wintry, snowy day, there was a knock at the door of the ant's home. And when the ant opened the door, there stood the father grasshopper. He's weak. He's emaciated. He's starving. And he says to the ant, 'Please give me some of your food. If you don't give me some food, I and all my family will die. We have no hope. You are our only hope. And if you don't help us, we'll all perish.'" And the teacher said to the class, "Now, I want each of you to write your own ending to the story." At the end of the class, the papers were turned in. The teacher read over them, but before the class began the assignment, one little girl raised her hand and she said, "Teacher, can I draw something on the paper?" And the teacher said, "You can draw something, but you cannot use the drawing to that. You have to write what you want to write, and then you can draw something." The papers were turned in. The teacher, during the week, began to read over them. Some stories wrote of how the ant said to the grasshopper, "You should have known better. It's not my fault that you and your family are going to die. That's all on you." And shut the door. Some of the students wrote that the ant gave a little bit of food to the grasshoppers to try to help them get through the winter. And others wrote that the ant said, "Bring me the children and I'll feed the children, but you and the adults, you'll have to die. I can't feed all of you." But there was one little story ending to the story that was totally different. It was the little girl's story. It so moved the teacher that she called the little girl's mother and said, "I want to talk to you about your daughter's response to an assignment I gave them." The mother comes in, not knowing what to expect. And the teacher begins to tell her the story. "This is the assignment I gave the students." And she said, "I want you to explain to me what your daughter meant. I don't understand this." She pushed the paper over to the mother. The mother turned the paper where she could read it. And this is what her daughter wrote. "The ant gave all its food to the grasshopper, and the ant died." And at the bottom of the page, she had drawn three crosses. That's what Paul meant when he said, Jesus emptied himself. He poured himself out, so that you and I could live. Lord God, today we cannot even put into words the wonderful gift of your Son Jesus. It baffles our imagination. Lord, all we can do is say thank you. All we can do is tell you how much we appreciate it, how grateful we are, how humbled we are. And as we come to your table today, we do so, Father, acknowledging the worthiness, the love, the grace of your Son Jesus Christ to us. Amen.